The Lord reminded me this morning during worship that I have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son." Can someone tell me the name of his dear son? I think we can do a little better this morning. What's his name? Okay, we just need to wake up and shout out the name Jesus today. Jesus. Don't worry, as we go throughout the service, it'll grow, okay? Boldness will come. You might just stand up and shout the name of Jesus during this morning, and I'm okay with it. It says that he has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Aren't we so thankful for Jesus this morning? That he purchased your freedom and he forgave your sins. Then I immediately thought of John chapter 1 and verse 5 of John chapter 1. This is not in the message notes for this morning, but if you want to follow the rest of the message here in a second, you can do that in the app. I encourage you to do so. But in John chapter 1 and verse 5, I thought, okay, Lord, you've rescued me from the kingdom of darkness, because you see, some of us in here, we've yet to recognize that God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness with the precious blood of Jesus. So here you are walking around with dark thoughts, heaviness upon your shoulders, this weight, this sin. You're constantly in a place of feeling overwhelmed, worried, in fear or torment. In John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." The darkness can never extinguish the light of Christ in your life. Jesus is greater than any struggle you are facing today. Jesus is greater than any symptom, than any strife, than any foul lie, than you not sleeping last night. Can I get an amen? Amen. Than any discouragement or despondency. Jesus is greater. Which leads me to our main text for today. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 15 in verse 13. We are going to have the most wonderful time in the Word of God this morning. And the title of today's message is Trusting God Every Day. This is an applicable word. I believe that as this word is being ministered forth, that the Holy Spirit is going to awaken some areas in your life where you go, oh, I need to put that into practice today. That belongs to me. You're just going to reach right up and receive it. This is an everyday message that I, Anna Gresham, minister to myself. Every day. And I've been ministering this word a whole lot to myself lately. That's why you guys are hearing it this morning. So are you with me?
Yes.
All right, we're going to read Romans chapter 15, verse 13. You guys look comfortable. Let's go ahead and stand up and read this word. And I'm just going to pray this over us today. Does that sound good? You with me? All right. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Who receives that word this morning? How many of us say, I need to overflow with confident hope today? Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to overflow with your hope in my life so it just spills over to the children that I yelled at yesterday. No, nobody? No, okay, all right. We're just going to keep it real here this morning, maybe for a second. Confident hope. We're receiving God's word this morning. Today, the presence of God is here. And when we leave, guess what? The presence of God is still here. When you get in your car, the presence of God is with you. When you go home, he's there too. When you go to bed tonight, has he left you? Oh, no, no, no. We declare his faithfulness in the evening. We're going to overflow with confident hope today. And this morning, we're going to learn how to trust God every day. Amen? All right, y'all have a seat. So the word trust, I'm reading this scripture, Romans 15, 13. This is a scripture that I actually pray over my own life. And as I'm walking through this scripture, I think, all right, God, there's a key here. I pray that God, the source of hope, okay, I want to be filled completely with joy and peace. But how does that happen? Because I trust in him. The word trust there, when we study that out in the Greek, means to have faith in God. This is faith believing in trusting God with your life, even when you don't see it, even when you don't feel it. He is there and he is working. He's moving that mountain as you speak to it in faith. You're knowing that Jesus is casting it into the sea. Knowing that he wants to carry that heavy burden that you've been carrying for far too long. That Jesus actually carried it on the cross so you don't have to. It's time to obey God. It's time to take God at his word. And to really just put our faith in God. I love in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, we're very familiar with this passage of scripture. Where Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that as humans, we were going to try to carry what didn't belong to us. He says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. But there's a key phrase right here. He says, let me teach you. I believe that's what the Holy Spirit's really been trying to teach me. And I want to teach you how to trust in the Lord every day of your life. So that even in the most challenging of situations, even when you're going through a struggle or a hard time, you have rest for your soul. You've got a peace that passes all understanding, guarding your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So I begin to ask myself, how do I know if I'm trusting in the Lord? Well, if you're feeling heavy, if life is so taxing and you're overwhelmed or exhausted, I mean, you got some keys here if you know you've not been trusting in God. And as we walk through this message, you're going to have that same Holy Ghost wake-up call where the Lord, he doesn't bring condemnation upon you. It's a conviction from the Holy Ghost to spur us on to grow in our faith in Christ Jesus. And when I thought of this whole message, a phrase kept coming into my heart. And I wrote it down in my notes. And this was something that I wrote down for me personally that I've received that I'm going to pass on to you guys. But I begin to write down, I'm not climbing today, I'm casting today. I'm not climbing, I'm casting. And then I thought of this time several years ago, and I've asked the Lord, should I show these pictures? Because we were climbing a mountain, but it was a journey that we chose to be on. We didn't have a mountain facing us that you know, an aggression. Like Joshua and I on our marriage trips, we like to go backpacking, and people think we're crazy. They're like, why don't you just go to the beach? And I'm like, well, we like to not shower for a week and carry a heavy backpack around the wilderness and, you know, run into bears ever so often. It's what we do. So we had made a decision. We were going to go backpacking. And we were going to climb Mount Whitney. Mount Whitney is the highest peak in the lower 48. And the day before we were going to summit, we had a campsite, my pack, about 35 pounds, It had been a full, at that point, I think we were on day three. We're at our base camp. We were climbing. We're going to wake up at 4 a.m. the next morning, hike up the backside of Mount Whitney, start in the dark with our headlamps on, hardcore. I did not bring enough snacks. At that point, I was starving, no lie. I lost like 10 pounds on this trip. I don't know what I was thinking. It was not an easy journey, actually. And so that morning, we knew that we were going to leave our packs behind because we were summiting. We didn't want to carry that heavy weight. A little day pack with all of my just lunch and my food for that day. You know, after carrying that pack for 3 days in a row, hiking, what did we do? Like a total of 70 miles that week, I believe. Anyway, I had bruises. To take that weight off and just walk with something so light, it was freedom. Even though we were summiting at 14,505 feet. So I brought a picture whenever I reached the summit. I'd like for you to show that photo. I think you'll see the joy that I had upon not hiking or something, because we walked past people that had their heavy backpacks going to that summit. And I remember thinking, Lord, thank you. Now, even though we had to go back down and back to our base camp, it didn't matter. It was so worth it to not have to carry what we didn't need. I've got a picture of Joshua and I, too. You got to show that because we were together. I didn't just want my fun picture. So show Joshua and I. There we are. Look at us. We had not had a shower in 4 days at that point, but, you know, we love each other so much, it didn't matter. There are some of you, you've been carrying the weight for so long, it's become your new normal. You've been on a journey. Now, we chose, every day you have a choice to trust in God. Every day you have a choice on what you're facing or where you're going or what life looks like. That's your choice. You say, well, what about when things just happen? Then you have a choice to begin to take the next step and say, Jesus, I need you to teach me of how to come to you and put my trust in you, because this is hard. So what does this look like? It's saying, I'm not carrying the weight, I'm casting the weight. I'm not climbing today, I'm casting today. I'm not stagnant today, I'm casting today. You say, why are we casting? Because in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 7, it says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. He tells us to cast the care onto him, to actually roll those cares. That word casting means you are physically rolling those cares onto the Lord. You say, why? Because he cares for you. He goes on to say, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. You've got to make a decision today to cast your cares and to not be devourable. I'm not devourable today. It's your choice. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. We're getting strong in our faith this morning through the Word of God, aren't we? Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. You're not alone in this. We could look around all across this room and you could have multiple conversations with people and recognize very quickly that you are not alone in what you've been suffering with. Aren't you so glad you're here at church with a body of Christ, with people that know what you're going through, that are also pressing into the Word of God, saying, God, I want to learn how to trust in you. And I love this part. I meditate on it often. In verse 10, it says, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. Once again, we're so thankful for Jesus. So that after you've suffered a little while, the Lord knew you're going to go through some things. But do you know what I love that he says? And I hold fast to this. He says he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. As we begin casting our cares on the Lord, you say, well, what does that look like? You got to cast in faith. You're going to hear the word cast a lot today, by the way. It's a key word. It's our word of the day. Casting in faith, that means you're speaking to the mountain. He didn't say climb the mountain. He told us to speak to the mountain and that to believe in him that he would cast it into the sea. When you're casting your cares on the Lord, are you casting those cares and then running back after them, picking them up and speaking doubt and unbelief to your situation? In Mark chapter 11, verses 23 through 25, it says, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. When I begin to walk through a situation and recognize, oh my Lord, I've been carrying all of this weight, and a care, we care about things, right? That's normal. But if you hold on to it, then it becomes an anxiety. It can become a root of bitterness, right? Can turn into a depression or an oppression, becomes a weight, even a sin of unbelief, right? So then he says, I want you to cast that onto me, but also as you do that, I want you to do it in faith, knowing I care for you, and that as you come to me in prayer and speak life, speak the word of God over your situation, I am removing that mountain or that obstacle in front of you. God didn't tell you to put that pack on and charge it. I read the most ridiculous quote this past week, and it aggravates me to no end because believers say this trash all the time. Well, if God doesn't move your mountain, go pick it up stone by stone and remove it yourself. It's not in the Bible. That seems exhausting. There's nothing scriptural about that. Stop telling God what he can or can't do. Why don't you just take him at his word and begin to speak life over the situation and cast in faith over what you're going through today? And then that takes me to then we're going to cast in obedience. So we're casting our cares, we're casting in faith, and we're casting in obedience. I often have people that say to Pastor Josh and I, oh, I want to go deeper. Just preach those messages that go deeper. Following Jesus is going deeper. Yeah. Obedience when obedience isn't easy is going deeper. And when we follow Jesus, it becomes easy and light. Obedience to Christ takes me deeper. You want to go deeper in Christ? Obey his voice even when it isn't easy or convenient. When you're tired and you want to give up, and when you obey in the middle of that, he provides a way. Your obedience to God is key to the supernatural power of God taking place in your life today. And you're only as deep as you currently obey. Do I need to say that again? Yes. I thought so. You're only as deep as you currently obey. Let's read a great scripture passage to go with this. I absolutely love this. We all can picture ourselves here, even if you're not an ultimate fisherman. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, we're talking about Jesus, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Let's get a picture of this, because I want you to picture Simon Peter's response. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, how often have we just been so weary? Here the Lord has been speaking something to your heart. You've been in the middle of a struggle. You've been in the middle of a trial. You've been in the middle of a dark place. And the Lord's been giving you instruction. And you're like, God, you know, I did all of this. You start telling God what you did. But you know, I love so much. You know, the Word of God says that the Lord has a multitude of new mercies each day for us. Mercy is undeserved forgiveness. It's just God's love for you because he loves you. I love that in God's great mercy, Jesus, he says, he doesn't say, oh, all right, well, then peace out. I'm out of here. No. He takes us where we're at. And then I like Simon Peter says, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. But if you say so, God, I'm going to do it again. What has God been speaking to you about that you know you're supposed to be obedient in, that you've been trying to do it on your own? And this morning, just as we read this scripture, I believe all across this room, it was just like, boop, boop, little popcorn popping up. It could be something specific, your quiet time with the Lord in the morning. Will you recognize you need to start your day with God? You've been dealing with worry and anxiety because you just need to begin your day with the Lord and cast those cares onto him. It could be serving in your local church here at Trailhead Church. We want you to serve. It could be encouraging your spouse. It could be forgiving someone, right? You know. You begin to talk to the Lord of what this looks like. I put in my own personal notes for me, I love this set of scripture, Anna, cast your net and cast it again. Then I tell myself this. This is when I write out my own notes to me. Get out of your own way and allow God to have his way. His way is best. His thoughts are higher. Wait on the Lord. And then I made it personal with Joshua and I have a quiet confidence in the Lord and in how I support my husband and our family. Of God, I want to obey you. I want to honor you, Lord. And what you're asking of me, that as I cast, that I'm casting in obedience, simply saying yes. Then I begin to walk through this process of, all right, God, what's a hindrance to casting? What are some things that we struggle with or that we deal with that's an attack of Satan upon our life that can be a hindrance? Now, don't get mad at me when this pricks you. Take ownership this morning. Yeah. A stronghold of pride is a hindrance to casting. Thinking you know better than God. Pride can be defined as elevating one's opinions and thoughts above God's authoritative word. You have elevated your opinion and your thought above the word of God, thinking you know what's best. You say, I don't do that. You do every time you take the weight upon your shoulders and you don't cast it onto him. Actually, the Lord ministered to me. He goes, you've been in pride with your children, thinking you can control what they're doing and who they are all on your own, and you're wrong. I said, well, you're right, Lord. Thank you. I repent. God, I cast the care of what I... Yeah, we're raising three teenage boys and a preteen daughter right now. Y'all just reach your hands out and pray for me. I'll just stand here. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, and he gives grace generously. Aren't we so glad? As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You all know I like words. That word proud is trying to be more than what God directs. You're trying to be greater than God. God forgive us. That stronghold of pride can then lead to a stronghold of criticism, where you become critical or hypocritical to the things in life. I have found that when I get critical, that I am not trusting in God. You go, what does that look like? When you're critiquing everybody else around you, but not taking ownership of your own situation, more than likely, you've got an area you're not trusting in the Lord in. Why? Because you get focused on the wrong things. Your eye is off the love of Jesus. Onto the problem. It's time to wake up to this morning. Then that criticism can lead to a stronghold of failure. A negative opinion of yourself that God hasn't said about you. Did you know that God hasn't said one negative thing about you? But how often are we walking around not in that overflow of confident hope because we've got a stronghold of negative thinking, believing thoughts that are lies from Satan? Which takes me to another casting word. You say, what is this casting word? We're continuing to cast our cares, yes, in faith, yes, in obedience, yes, but we're casting down every vain imagination and thought that would try to elevate itself above the name of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So how do we deal with the stronghold of pride? How do I deal with thoughts of criticism? How do I deal with thoughts of failure? Verse 5, by casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We cast them down. Every thought must obey Jesus. If you've been struggling with wandering thoughts, intrusive thoughts, if you've been waking up in the middle of the night, gripped in fear or anxiety, you put your hand, I did this the other night. I put my hand on my head and I said, in Jesus' name. I don't receive that. That doesn't belong to me. Satan, you've got to go. And then I started to speak 1 Peter 5:7. Lord, I'm casting every care on you because you care for me. God, you care for me. You have authority in the name of Jesus to tell these thoughts to go. You say, how can you say that? You've been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. Purchased by the blood of Jesus. You have freedom from sin, freedom from failure. The name of Jesus belongs to you. In the Amplified, I put it in the message notes today because it just goes. You all know I love the Amplified. I'm very wordy. In verse 5 of 2 Corinthians, I'm not going to read it all, but it says that it's every exalted and proud thing. Every exalted and proud thing. Well, we just read pride is coming against thinking you know better than God. Several years ago, our youngest son, Colton, had an accident at our house. He had fallen off of a bed and he hit his head on a Lego table. I think he was about 4 years old. So I'm giving Carly, our little girl, a bath, and they run in, and it's utter chaos. I quickly recognize that we have an emergency on our hands. I rush Colton. Josh was at church. I rush Colton to the hospital, and he clearly has a concussion. He's incoherent, and it was scary. I'm so thankful for God's grace. There's a grace for everything we go through. And I'm thankful for the confident hope we have in Christ Jesus when we go through challenging things. So as I'm walking through this, they say, okay, we're going to have to rush him to Duke so he can go to their pediatric unit. What had taken place, I get an ambulance with them. Those ambulance workers were wonderful. They were just amazing. And then we get into Duke and the pediatric ER, and this team swarms in, and we had like 7 doctors just checking everything out. It was super cool to watch just how God uses medical professionals. But that entire time, I'm having to put my trust in God for my little boy, knowing that God, you're still greater than all of this. So what had taken place? Colton had a depressed skull fracture. The back of his little head completely dented in. He's laying there in the bed, and I'm about 10 feet away. All the doctors are around him, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Right in my spirit, the Holy Spirit said these exact words: he will not have surgery. The Word of God tells us in John that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. I knew that was a word from the Lord. He will not have to have surgery. So a couple of minutes go by. Young pediatric neurosurgeon comes up to me and he goes, I believe he's going to have surgery. I had a choice in that moment to trust God and to take him at his word, at the rhema word he had spoken into my heart, or to just crumble and fall to pieces, to put that weight on my shoulder, to take it on myself, to figure it all out, right? I'm so thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost giving us that boldness, that God truly said that when we put our trust in him, we'll overflow with that confident hope. And I just looked at that doctor and I said, no, he won't. And he said, I think he might. I just said, no, I don't believe he will. He said, okay, we'll just wait it out. He said, tomorrow you're going to see the head pediatric neurosurgeon here at Duke Hospital. So that next morning, we go in, see this lovely older gentleman. He's a very kind, intelligent man. He said, all right, Mrs. Gresham, I want to give him 1 month of healing at home just to see how his body heals on its own. If in 1 month I do not see the progress that we need to see, then we will have surgery. And I said, okay, all right, let's do this. I have 4 kids. If you've ever taken a child home with a broken skull, within 2 days he'd hit his head on the table. Another day, one of our kids stepped on his head. You guys, this was not an easy time of trusting in the Lord. And this leads me to this scripture before I finish this testimony. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 39. Because this is what we're not going to cast away today. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. Everyone say amen. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, say, I'm not drawing back. My soul has no pleasure in him. Ooh, that's a bold word. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition or destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. I am not casting away my confidence in the Lord. Actually, throughout that month, whenever I would give him a bath and water would flow over his head, all I could see was his little dented in head. The Lord said, I don't want you to look at it. Stop looking at it. And I said, okay, all right, I'm gonna stop looking at it. God, I put my trust in you. We go back in a month, we've got to get another CT scan. He'd had multiple at this time. And I travel up in the elevator, there in the pediatric unit at Duke, walk into that office, sit down with that neurosurgeon. And the first thing he said to me, he said, Mrs. Gresham, I know you've been praying. He goes, actually, it's pretty wild. The notes from the CT scan this morning, they said, we didn't see much of a change. He goes, I need you to look at this picture. He goes, I don't know what they're talking about. He pulled up the previous CT scan that showed the crack. Then he pulled up the new one, and there is his little skull completely fused, exactly as it should have been. And he said, I know that this is the Lord. Right in the middle of Duke Hospital. He goes, your son doesn't have to have surgery. You know, I was thinking about this last night, and I thought, God, that wasn't easy. But I'm so thankful you were there for it to be light and to be easier just really every day that I put my trust in you. It might start off a little tough, but as you start to walk through this, he said he'll fill you completely with joy and peace. I think we need to read that scripture again, Romans 15, 13, to really place it in our hearts of what this looks like. When you study out the casting of not casting your confidence, that word cast is used two times in the Word of God in that translation. And it literally means to throw off a coat, to put off a garment. And you know what I thought about? Are you with me in this? That you're taking off what the world has said. You're taking off that heaviness, that garment of heaviness. You're taking off that weight and that worry and that concern. And you're putting on the garment of praise and thanksgiving. You're putting on the full armor of God, as in Ephesians chapter 6. You're putting on what the world has to say today. Romans 15, 13, and I pray God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's our prayer today. Are you ready to put this into action this morning? Do you have some things that you know you've been carrying that you need to give to the Lord? Have you recognized through today's service, you've got some positions where you've been climbing that mountain, not speaking to the mountain? It's time to turn your words around. Have you recognized, Lord, I need to obey you? Maybe it's a point of unforgiveness, a point of contention. I don't know, it's between you and God. We're going to cast that completely onto him, and we're not going to pick it up again. This is every day trusting in the Lord. You say, wait, I'm going to have to do this tomorrow. You actually get to do this tomorrow. And as you do, you will begin to operate from that position of overflow in the mighty name of Jesus.